아래 나니는 가자 아 남의 집에 걸마 직 대시에 돌도 있으 쉬나 삼성으로
Good evening. Tonight we're going to start to look at the Lama Chöpa text, and we'll cover it through. I'll cover it through a brief presentation.
Lama Chöpa ma jige chüe diler Lama Chöpa ge jige chüe se da ane jige lung chüe se Lama Chöpa ge chüe jige nemlen chüe ba da bu chüe ye la jige ane jige idam ge wang.
都是这些，那是个王学国，我的王学，对呢，嘛，那那么区别去，送下来的那用过了，提取罢了，那王学国过来，现在当然最的敌人那些的，当然俺们就嘛，多数时间呢，伢们其他当然是都是呢，光拿的那点那些，我这些怎么都取得的那个个，才够嘛，对呢，当然最的王学国来写的哇。Usually. Usually before one is led or given a, is led through this text, led through the Lama Chöpa, one needs to receive an initiation such as Yamantaka. But we're not going to be doing that. So therefore, rather than leading one through the text in depth, I'll be giving an introductory explanation to the Lama Chöpa practice.
In
my case, I received the explanation on this practice from His Holiness's former senior tutor, Ling Rinpoche. That was, of course, many years ago. And from then until now, I've kept my commitment to engage in this practice on a daily basis. Prior to coming now to where we are, about to commence looking at this text, we've covered in detail the presentation on the Lamrim, which presents the entire graduated sequences of trainings of Sutra and in brief on Tantra that one needs to engage in, what the path that needs to be cultivated within oneself so that one can progress from the suffering realms of samsara to attain the state of liberation. So that we've looked at in some detail.
제자다 산유 줌낸디기 데니기 냠네 림바디 산유 줌낸디기 손샤바디 산유 줌디니기 셰네 우스 최강 아니 고라스게 다니 로마 디가 소셰슈가 냠도 로마 제수기 냠낸지 대소마 주규신마 아니디마 디기 로마 로마마 냠낸지 아니 가서 가서 자가 주진 아니 고모 루주라 소파다 덴도 냠낸지 데니마 진네는 조제 조제 바다 아디샤 냠낸나 但George不来的这些也不要了撇些，但George不来的这些也不要了撇些，但George不来的这些也不要了撇些，但George不来的这些也不要了撇些，但George不来的这些也不要了撇些，但George不来的这些也不要了撇些，但George不来的这些也不要了撇些，但George不来的这些也不要了撇些，但George不来的这些也不要了撇些，但George不来的这些也不要了撇些，但George不来的这些也不要了撇些，但George不来的这些也不要了撇些，但George不来的这些也不要了撇些，但George不来的这些也不要了撇些，但George不来的这些也不要了撇些，但George不来的这些也不要了撇些，但George不来的这些也不要了撇些，但George不来的这些也不要了撇些，但George不来的这些也不要了撇些，但George不来的这些也不要了撇些，但George不来的这些也不要了撇些，但George不来的这些也不要了撇些，但George不来的这些也不要了撇些，但George不来的这些也不要了撇些，但George不来的这些也不要了撇些，但George不来的这些也不 비 림바지 어둑체네 지 리거와
And that this lineage of accomplished masters that have engaged in practices of cultivating and contemplating the various paths of Sutra and Tantra can be traced right back from the Buddha, from the present day back to the Buddha. And we go through a lineage of great lamas in Tibet, to those such as Lama Atisha, who crossed over or bridged the lands of India and Tibet, to the great masters of India prior to that, such as Nagarjuna. And this lineage from the present day extends unbroken back to the time of Buddha, to Buddha Shakyamuni himself, of beings becoming accomplished on the basis of the teachings of Sutra and Tantra that Buddha Shakyamuni gave. The outstanding master of Tibet, Lama Tsongkhapa, was accomplished in all the trainings of Sutra and Tantra. And he had attained a state where he was able to have direct visions of Manjushri, and not merely visions, but interactions. He engaged with Manjushri on a level in the same way as we are seeing each other, and really a face-to-face interaction. And he asked Manjushri to please give him a method so that he could quickly attain enlightenment. Manjushri then presented to Jerenpuche a technique by which, on the basis of seeing his Lama, Yidam, and Buddha as indivisible in nature, he would engage in this practice and thereby quickly attain the exalted state of enlightenment. Manjushri then taught the Lama Tsongkhapa practice to Lama Tsongkhapa. So therefore, this practice was first brought into the world by Manjushri, who taught it directly to Lama Tsongkhapa. Lama Tsongkhapa engaged in this practice on a daily basis, and he taught it on an individual basis to a handful of his students, what would be called the ear westward lineage. Nothing was written down. He just taught a handful of his students individually this particular practice. I don't want to give across the impression that prior to Jerenpuche receiving the presentation or being presented with the Lama Tsongkhapa practice, that a quick method to enlightenment didn't exist in this world. Of course it did, and Lama Tsongkhapa himself was accomplished in such methods, primarily that of highest yoga tantra. But Jerenpuche had as part of his motivation a wish to leave something for future generations, a condensed practice with vast meaning. He had already composed phenomenal texts such as the Bering Lamrim texts, which in relatively few words encompassed the vast meaning of the Buddha Dharma. So similarly, he wanted to produce a technique for later generations, which would be a practice text in just a few words that comprise a vast meaning.
And in that, Jerim Jimadu Chine, Tangaji Choa Yigi, Maraga, Jerim Choran, Yemlena, Koranjima, and Lama Korans, Loma Zoa, Dimasu, and this who do to Chinas, Korbe Sawar, Chin, Tushin, Yemlena, Gorwa, and Chisu, Benjin, Losan Chi, Yetengi, and Daddy One, Dane, Bed, Pando, Chimbo, Dushandia, and Mombana, and the Denegi Yigi Tisha.
So therefore, the Lama Tripa practice entered the world through Manjushri teaching it directly to Lama Tsongkhapa. And Lama Tsongkhapa, he one at a time, later passed it on to individual students. And he passed it on to them in the same way that he had received it from Manjushri, by teaching it to them orally, and they then learning it immediately from him. And this is how it was passed on from teacher to student. So in this way, it would have been part of the ear-whispered lineage, and one would have said it was a secret text in that it was passed on directly from teacher to student, not in a broad environment, but on a one-on-one basis. Later then, the great first Panchen Rinpoche, Lobsang Choekyi Gyaltsen, he decided for the sake of future generations that this greatly beneficial practice should be more widely disseminated, and therefore what had to this point been practiced in secret, in other words, not widely taught, he wrote down so that it could be widely practiced. And so in this way, through Lobsang Choekyi Gyaltsen writing down this ear-whispered practice, in this way, the practice became written for the first time and widely disseminated. The Lama Tripa practice that we have is that of the Guluk tradition. So each of the Tibetan traditions has their own, and ours has Lama Tsongkhapa as the principal figure. But the practice, though, across the traditions is the same in that one with the way that it's by fully qualified practitioners, the way they would engage in it is with a union of calm abiding and meditative insight. They would see their Lama as indivisible in nature from the Yidam and the Buddha, so all three being inseparable in nature. And holding that, this understanding, this realization, single-pointedly, they then would go engage in the practice of making offerings. So to translate the title, so Lama, we know as Lama or Guru, and then Sherpa is to make offerings. So therefore, it's the practice of making offerings to the Lama. When one compares the size of this text, of this practice, to say the practices of the three principal deities of Yamantaka, Haruka, and Gyasamaja, one sees that it is a great, far briefer text. So just in the same way as we could say with the Lamrim, that there are Lamrims of varying tradition, various lengths, but they are certainly an abbreviated presentation that contains the entire meaning. So too, the practice of the Lama Chöpa, or the Guru Puja, contains the meaning of the Yamantaka, Haruka, or Gyasamaja practice. The essence of the meaning of the practice of Lama Chöpa is that one first sees one's Lama, Yidam, and the Buddha as indivisible in nature. Having generated this mind, one then makes offerings and supplications to one's Lama, now who one is seeing as indivisible in nature from one's Yidam and the Buddha. So having made offerings and supplications, one then engages in the practices that lead to enlightenment. And you'll remember from the Lamrim text we've been covering, because this is a practice of the Mahayana, these will now be the practices of the six perfections, so the sutra practices, and then the tantric practices of the generation and completion stage. So again, seeing one's Lama, Yidam, and Buddha as indivisible in nature, one makes offerings and supplications, and then engages in the practices that will lead to enlightenment. First, those are the sutra, the six perfections, thereafter those of Tantra, generation and completion stage. Whatever meditative practice one engages in, whether it's a daily lamrim meditation or whether one is in retreat doing lamrim or deity retreat, or one's doing a lama tropa practice, they all have the same three divisions. First being the preliminaries, thereafter the actual practice or the main practice, and then the conclusion. Of those three divisions, preliminaries, main practice, and conclusion, those you will be very used to from your own daily meditation or retreats you've attended here. And similarly, when we look at the preliminaries, these we will know well already from the lama meditations that I've led you through. Every meditation starts with the generation of the Mahayana motivation, namely refuge and bodhicitta. And moreover, each meditation session, one would start with the six preparatory practices that we looked at 3 years ago at the start of our previous Lamrim text. The first one cleans one's room and arranges the shrine and sets out offerings, then sits in the sevenfold position, takes refuge, generates bodhicitta, and then engages in the preliminaries to the meditation. So those six steps we covered previously, but the primary preliminary is the generation of refuge and bodhicitta.
And then That's also Rangi Lama, Susu Lama Yimba, Susu Lama, 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 ね、中華料理、あんとまさんいちむのよばさた。あんディ中華料理、あんがんじ、ちけ、キャワドシャンよばどうしね、サムタディだ、ラマセディ、ソスギサタビチェルムチェルランゲラマディチェ。あんディドゥルユリア、あんとまさんいちむサタディ、サンギディチェ。ディ中華料理、あんね、ドリチャン、キャワドシャンスギダムチェ、チェザ、ラマイダムサンユスムガディナ、ソテチェザ、モエルメユドセディ、デリア、ソドゥシネサタ。サタコレスンド。
Within the preparatory practices, the fourth was the visualization. And in this context, we have visualization of the refuge visualization. So here, one visualizes before oneself on a lion throne, one's lama in the aspect of Jerenpuche. So because we're looking at the practice of Lama Chöpa, in this context, for the refuge field, we also visualize Lama Tsongkhapa before us, but seeing him, but whilst the aspect is of Lama Tsongkhapa in nature, it is our teacher. Then he's Lama Tsongkhapa is sitting in with the mudra Genla showed before, with his left hand in his lap and his right hand at his heart. Then at Jay Rinpoche's heart is Buddha Shakyamuni, and at Buddha Shakyamuni's heart is Vajradhara or Dorje Chang. So here already in the visualization, one is seeing one's Lama, Yidam and Buddha as indivisible in nature. In that, one's visualizing Jerenpuche, but knowing that in essence it's one's Lama, at his heart is Buddha, and at Buddha's heart is Vajradhara, representing one's own Yidam. So already in the refuge field, one is visualizing one's Lama, Yidam, and Buddha as indivisible in nature.
たがんずのんびんじんま、ペジナーレやカリオラスンダンボ、ディシンアレラニラマラーセで、オントスチネ、のんびんじだね、だ、どすよれ。いね、たがんず、やさ、やはち、カシエゲデンダンボ、ディシンアレデュ、エンデンマドスパレンジトゥルゴレ。やがんず、カブリレや、アネアチンガンズ、ソープデュカブラ、ディシンアレイ、マデュンバシニエレや、ラフカケスムチェンボンアニエレセチトゥ、アンディネマー、パドアネ、カソーレ、
In terms of engaging then in the recitation, then there are two techniques, two ways that this is done. So you can see with your text before you, especially those of you who come to the Lama Chöpa practice here, you'll immediately see that there is a difference. So here in your text, the first verse is numbered number one. So this is the way that the text was composed, and this is one way that the recitation is done, starting with the first verse, within great bliss, I rise as my Guru Yidam. The second way that it can be done is starting with the second verse, from the state of an exalted white virtuous mind. And that is the way that we usually do it when you do puja here. And where one starts with the second verse, then verse number one comes after verse number 6. So the way we normally do it in Pusha here is verses 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 7, 8, and so forth. So there are these two methods. Before one engages in the core of the practice, so looking at your book, you can see the core of the practice starts in the middle, page 3. But before one does so, one is engaging in the preliminaries. And the preliminaries include then the generation of refuge and bodhicitta and blessings of the beings throughout the world and the world itself. So the one technique, as was mentioned, which is the one that we do in Puja, which is to start with the second verse from the state of an exalted white virtuous mind. So here we're generating refuge and going straight into bodhicitta as well. So that is the one technique, like we do in Puja, starting with the second verse. And here you can see from reading the words that one is generating refuge and bodhicitta right at the outset. First presenting the method like you do in Guru Puja, in Lama Chopa, the bi-monthly puja, or the fortnightly puja rather, where we start with the second verse. So you see from the first line then, from the state of an exalted white virtuous mind. This then, the meaning of the word white here is that it is a mind freed of stain, of fault or pollutant. And it refers to, this virtuous mind refers to all the virtuous minds that are included within the varying practices, those which are shared with a practitioner of intermediate, of initial capacity, those which are shared with a practitioner of intermediate capacity, as well as those of a practitioner of supreme capacity. All of those virtuous minds are referenced here in the first line. And then again, white means that it's free of stain or fault. And then immediately in the second line, we see reference to the purpose, which is for the sake of all mother sentient beings. These first two lines then, where one is cultivating one's motivation. Here, already in dependence on one's extensive prior training, one is generating the varying motivations of the three scopes of beings. In other words, the motivation of a practitioner, the motivation relating to the training shared with a practitioner of initial capacity, in that one is determined to create the causes for ongoing good rebirths, as well as the motivation that is the trainings that are shared with the practitioner of intermediate capacity, where one is determined to abandon the afflicted minds, the causes that keeps one trapped in the suffering realms of samsara and attain liberation from samsara, and one is generating the motivation related comes from the unique trainings of a practitioner of supreme capacity, where one's determination to attain liberation from the afflicted minds that keep one bound in samsara is within the context of doing this so that one can become the most skilled of guides to help others achieve the self-same state. So within this generation of one's motivation is a rejection of the aspiration of the goal of individual liberation, seeing it as not suitable, as unacceptable. Rather, one is generating love and compassion for beings, generating compassion for them lost in suffering, not even knowing that they continue to create causes for ever more pain, generating love, wanting them to be freed of such a state and abide in lasting happiness, and moreover, generating the altruistic attitude of universal responsibility, where one takes it as one's own determination or one's own responsibility to ensure that each being is guided to the achievement of their own liberation. So here, in these first two lines, one is already generating an extensive Mahayana motivation.
Dichi de andada, and dele gibi nubadusuyore, isn't it? 대신 한 저기 뒤일라 한 초신 공부 라마 이름 산이 뭐 예를 와서 코로나스 코로나 요래스 비켜 효딱 딜 껴베 뉴바드 콘솔 요 코로나 껴그래 껴베 뉴바드 요래스 비 심딩니 이셰바지 이셰바 접수 좋아서 지난 내내 지지 장주 님보바 라마 건조스나 접수 좋아서 디링네 뒤 디링네 송제 메상제게 그 마도바스 땡네스 뒤 디링네스 올다 디링네 지시 자주 인보 벌써 산지 고바 마토 이바도 아니 라마 건조스네 라마 이담 산지에 뭐 예메베 델리아 아니 건조스네 잡수 두기 세베 다델리아 잡르치기 세베 다 잠르디 잠르디 시고르다
In the first line we have the word so still we're looking at verse 2 the word exalted the word here exalted this refers to The Mahayana refers to the trainings of beings of supreme or greatest capacity. So therefore, we see the reference, knowing the meaning then of this word exalted, we see immediately here that this refuge that has been generated is one of the Mahayana, because this word exalted refers to bodhicitta. So we're going for refuge, but within the context of the Mahayana. So literally the word exalted is the word for great, as in great scope or great vehicle. And in the second line, we see the reference to all sentient beings and it's expressed as I and all infinite, old mother sentient beings. Here it's being presented in a very emotive way to draw attention to the close and intimate relationship that we share with all sentient beings. And the word I is being emphasized because we are generating the bodhicitta motivation where one takes responsibility for the welfare of all mother sentient beings. And then we see in the next two lines, from this moment until our supreme enlightenment, I go for refuge to the gurus and the three precious gems. Here, we understand this now in the context of our visualization. We're visualizing our Lama in aspect of Jerenpache with Buddha Shakyamuni at his heart and Vajradhara at his heart. So we see our Lama, Yidam and Buddha as indivisible in nature and we're turning to them for refuge, for protection, knowing that they have the skill to guide us and through us all beings to the attainment of lasting enlightenment.
Lama Yidam Sanje, Sanje, O Yeme, that Telia, Simjan Tamjo, Kuru, Dungal, Kubi, Nuba, the Kongs, the Kurva, Yokore, Sibi, Yishi, Sim Ding Yishi, Jabba, the Jamdore. Then the Dene Yishi Chene, Manzuya, Delia, and the Jamdro, Janga Sayadi, Tisadang, Manzuki, Puisina, Lama, like your Sushi, Sanje, like your Chola, Gendo, like your Sushi, Sadi, Sayadi, that Dene Sanskrit Chidu. Namugurubias, the Lama like your Chesigura, Namubidayas, the Sangi like your Suchesia, Damayas, the Chudder like Chura like your Suchesia, and Namasangayas, Gindu like your Chesia, Nodusina, Manaji, Delia, Sada, Delia, and Jigi, Lama like your Sucha, Lama like your Sulama like your Sulama like your Sidine Jangasa, and Dinesan and Sanga like your Sangela Dustin, Jangasa, Undusine Ungur, the Chick Sada, Dine Ungure. I am taking Deptilia, Lamalik, Sangele, Chorek, Genelik, Silaman, Sangele, Chorek, Genelik, Nduchinus, I am good at that, Deniki, Devatsi, the Wuchibi, Tony, that then tell it to be new body, Lamaidam conscious from Kyokuri, Sambigi, Sim Dingi, Yiche, Deller, so what Sichi, the Wuchine, and Nduchine, Ne, Jamdruth, Jamdruthanga Saya, this Chagore.
The third verse. We have the refuge formula here, which is recited in Sanskrit. Namo Gurubhya is refuge to the Guru. Namo Buddhaya, refuge to the Buddha. Namo Dharmaya, refuge to the Dharma. And Namo Sanghaya, I go for refuge to the Sangha. So here, one has now generated refuge in the second verse. And refuge is recognizing that one's object of refuge here, which is one's Lama, who is indivisible in nature from the Yidam, one's Yidam and Buddha, one knows from deep within one's heart that he has the ability to protect one. And what does protection mean? through relying on his instruction and cultivating what he teaches one within one's own mind, that protects one. So in this way, through receiving and following guidance, one attains protection from suffering. So with deep, heartfelt faith, faith of trust and conviction, one has then generated the mind of refuge. So the mind of refuge is a heartfelt trust and conviction that one's object of refuge has the ability to guide one to spiritually develop and in this way attain protection from suffering. With this generated within oneself, refuge generated within oneself, one goes into the recitation in the third verse. So here, especially when you're doing the practice on your own, you can recite any number of recitations. One would recite each one individually with many recitations. So Namo Gurubhyo and count again and again on one's mala before moving to Namo Buddhaya, counting on one's mala before moving to Namo Dhammaya, etc. In this way, one every day could count many refuge prayers like this.
And then that long ago, the Dunlea, Sosu Dunlea, and the Kivu set up, the nature of the Sata Vichela, and then I'll do the Kuno, Janshu Simji Kunela, and the Ya Sata, and the Dunlea, Kivu to your Sata, and that day, I'll do the Dudu, and Sosu, that you be Sosu Dilia, Sosu in your Hordilia, Simjan Tamje, and Yuba, Mabacha, Urejele, Simjan Tamje, Yuba, Mabacha, Simjan Tamjeda, Simjan Tamje. So,
Before oneself, we have the visualization as mentioned earlier, and in one's heart one has given rise to deep heartfelt faith. Moreover, in terms of one's visualization, surrounding us, we should have the feel that all sentient beings, without exception, surround us. And they are joining us in the recitation of the refuge formula. We are playing the role of the chant leader. And all sentient beings around us are in human aspects similar to ourselves. We don't visualize them with physical ailments and so forth. Rather, we just a simple visualization of beings who look similar to ourselves surrounding us, but understanding that it represents each and every single old mother sentient being. And we play the role of being the chant leader, bearing in mind we're doing this in the context of refuge and bodhicitta, with the goal of bodhicitta, the goal of enlightenment, which is the objective of bodhicitta. So here we have the aspiration that I will lead all beings to enlightenment. And here, all around me, on either side, behind and in front, I am leading them in the accumulation of virtue, connecting them with the flawless Lama, Buddha, and Yidam. And with this understanding, we engage in the recitation. And the key component of engaging in this refuge practice is that the mind of refuge should arise from deep within. It should be heartfelt. That one has a deep conviction that through the teachings that come from one's Lama, and one applying it within one's own mind, or cultivating them in one's own mind, one will spiritually develop and thereby transform suffering and attain protection, liberation. It's those realizations that are what protects us, an actual refuge. So here we need this deep conviction. And in this way, we can engage in the recitation with conviction, wanting to strengthen our connection ever more so, and thereby speed our practice for the sake of surrounding suffering mother sentient beings. And in the visualization then that is done from deep within one's heart, one visualizes, as one is, for example, first reciting Namo Gurubhyo many times, one visualizes light rays in the form of, or nectar in the form of light rays, flowing from one's Lama into oneself and all sentient beings, purifying us of all physical ailments, mental anguish, and all negativities on our continuum too. And we engage in this recitation with sincerity and conviction, and moving after many recitations, first of Namo Gurubhyo, then to Namo Buddhaya, and so forth. And the visualization will be similar throughout. Just to say a little bit more on the final line in the second verse, which is go for refuge to the gurus and the three precious gems. So generally, the objects of refuge, and you'll know this from our previous teachings, are the three jewels of the three gems of the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Here in our visualization, we're relating to our Lama as being the three jewels, in that in nature, he is the Buddha. But he is in the aspect of an Arya being, and therefore he is a Sangha. And moreover, he has exalted realizations on his continuum. Therefore, he is also the Dharma jewel. So our Lama is all three jewels. With this in mind, we turn to him for refuge, knowing that he has the ability or power. So the word in Tibetan can be translated as either ability or power to protect. And here let's talk then a little bit about the protection that refuge provides. Because usually when you think of the word protection, we'll think of, for example, if we see an insect drowning in a pool of water, we'll reach down with our hand and scoop that insect out. And this way we will protect the insect from dying. So that is not the understanding of protection in the context of refuge. So the mind of refuge is one where we have complete, to use the literal words, complete faith in the ability of the Buddha to protect us. So what does this mean? Because in our everyday way of speaking, it really does sound like we expect the Buddha to be able to reach down and help us like we would help an insect drowning in water. We expect the Buddha to be able to pick us up and take us to a God realm. That is not the meaning at all. So that's how the words sound, but that's not what should arise in our mind. Rather, in terms of the Buddha jewel, we have complete conviction or trust, which is another way to translate the word faith, because faith in English has its particular connotations. So the meaning really is one of conviction or trust. And in relation to the Buddha jewel, that conviction or trust is that in the Buddha jewel as being the teacher of the complete method based on his unmistaken experience that leads to enlightenment. So the conviction or the trust, i.e. the faith that one has in the Buddha jewel, is that one has no doubt in him as a teacher of the complete and unmistaken method based on his experience. Secondly, then, in terms of the Sangha jewel, here the Sangha jewel are those who, again, different ways to express it, are aids or companions or who help us to in our spiritual journey. So whilst we are embarking on our spiritual journey, these are our skilled helpers, those who aid us and assist us, having complete conviction or trust in the Sangha jewel is the mind of refuge towards them. And then thirdly, the Dharma jewel. So the Dharma jewel that one has complete conviction and trust in other words, faith, is the quality of realization that will be developed in our own continuum independence on following the guidance of our lamas, where we cultivate their teachings in the way they present, and in this way, through the attainment of realization, we abandon the affliction together with their seeds and attain cessation of suffering, liberation. The Dharma jewel itself is true cessation. So here, our faith and our faith or our trust and conviction is in our own realizations that we will be cultivating in our own continuum.
le anima chike tusiro chungo. De ngogo di lami ke kusung tu yu yen ten ni chik tin chi an namba di tusi ngogo chik. Da tusi yu an zate, da tusi yu yinu churu wu chiyo yu da zi chawa sifsira chik babna ngan zubul maa zuyo lomba chakir wa di na chi tusi maa chi sungana tu semja tam chi yu lul maa shu. Ani lui ki dikba nga sa dikba chasa da lui ki nena za gara yina chasa da son sen peke. Kien tam chi jaya chi lui di waiting ding roj wege rashin juje cha so san pe samda dene an dene ge samda da ngi ten di ma ho ba na ga ju ge ge we nyam le che tar chi la ma chi be nyam le che nyam le tar chi ye ge ni ba che ba che de sha so na ju sim jin tam ji nyam le che de ni ba san ju ko ba la ma chi be nyam le che tar chi be ge an ni ba che ba che sha so se be an dene ge ni ba che ba che cha so san be ge du si ne me ba che wo re se che da ma ju ge
이리 I hope then from my explanation now of refuge that it's clear that the Buddha cannot just reach down, pick us up and take us to a happier place. The Buddha can guide us, and our teachers can guide us, and it's for us to apply their teachings repeatedly over a sustained period, and that way transform our minds. So here, in this presentation of this, the start of the practice, we'll be going for the Mahayana refuge. I presented in brief the visualization, and I presented in a way that's simple and straightforward, and here what's important in the generation of the mind of refuge is that one feels a close and intimate relationship with the objects of our refuge, in particular with our Lama, feeling the real presence of the Lama and of the Buddha. And in terms of our attitude of refuge, our mind of refuge, over time, this also deepens and develops as our various experiences and mental transformation come about, and we gain ever more conviction that that his teachings and an example have the ability to protect us from suffering in the way that are presented. Through our own mental development, we attain protection from suffering. So that comes with it as we gain ever more experience, that deepens. So when one is engaging in the meditation, one has developed the visualization, one has done a brief analytical meditation in the recitation of the verse, and then the second verse, and we come to the third verse, and now we're doing the recitation here. And we're doing the recitation here with a particular visualization. And this meditation now is a placement meditation. Prior was analytical, and this now is placement. We're visualizing all the blessings from our Lama, and the blessings are the qualities of his body, speech, and mind flowing into us and all mother sentient beings in the form of nectar and light rays. And this, the qualities of his body, speech, and mind, and this entering us in this way, we imagine that they're purifying all our physical faults, our mental anguishes, and all the negative imprints on our continuum. We imagine this again and again, seeing our body and the body of all sentient beings transformed, becoming clear, bright, and translucent. In this way, through having conviction in the qualities of our Lama and thereby in the blessings that we are receiving, we have confidence that we now, through these blessings, have the capacity to attain our goal of becoming an enlightened being for the sake of others. Through this connection we are creating with all beings around us, we will be able to fulfill this heartfelt aspiration of being of real benefit to others. So here then tonight in the introductory talk, we started to look at the preliminary practices of the Lama Tripa practice.
Radin Manchimane, that's Sim Jevasia, Sim Jevadane, Kevarting, Sim Jevasia, Sim Jevado, she didn't even barsure, Radin Mamutisha.
So thank you. Then we'll continue next week with the generation of Bodhicitta. So thank you very much.